Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Having a smart and competent investment advisor is one thing, but are they accessible when you have a concern or just a question about your account? There are many important differences with KPP Financial. Find out more about our investment programs when you're ready on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to InvestTalk. I know I was trying to get through all the traffic, a little rain down here in Southern California, and all of a sudden everyone slows down 40 miles to 20 miles an hour, and made me a little late for the show today, but I am here, and we are here to help you become a better than average investor, just like every weekday. Today's show is Tuesday, September 20th, and Steve is up in the Bay Area today meeting with clients and listeners in San Francisco, actually, today. And our goal on Invest Talk is to talk about opportunities, risk management, and from time to time, we might alert you to some specific hazards we see along the way, like scams that are being perpetrated on seniors, for example. Affinity scams, they see this all the time. A lot of people hide behind religion. I see that very often, that people think they're trustworthy because they are religious. Well, a lot of times if they push that a little bit more than they probably seem they should, maybe they're hiding behind something. So affinity scams are very big. There's all types of pitfalls that you have to look out for. Now, in MetLife's Mature Market Institute, they conducted a study that estimated that seniors lose approximately $2.6 billion per year due to financial abuse. Now, that includes fraud as well as theft by family members and acquaintances as well. So how does that happen? Well, here are a few examples. One, the Social Security ripoff. ID thieves steal personal information, contact the Social Security Administration to change the payment routing information to the thieves' own bank account or prepaid debit cards. Seniors should be very cautious about any calls or emails requesting personal information. A common approach is that thieves call the seniors, or they email them. They ask for bank account information so they can deposit big prize money into their account. Ever heard of this? One way to prevent this is to register with the Social Security Administration to block all account changes not made in person. I think this is very important. Because how often do you really change your Social Security settings, right? It's very rare, so might as well add that extra layer of security. Then there's discount prescription scams. Fraudsters will offer seniors prescription drugs at half the cost. The catch is that there's a $200 membership fee to participate in this discount club. So seniors have to provide a credit card information to pay this membership fee. One way to prevent this is from happening is to check with your state's program for low-income health insurance. They typically have a master list comprised of reputable discount programs, so you don't get duped into one of these scam programs. Then there's the fake lottery sweepstakes. It's kind of a pay-to-play scheme where you have to buy a silly, magazine subscription or trinket or whatever, which typically is sent to you, which keeps the fraud below the radar because they think you're following through on their word, right? Or they're following through on their word. That's until they make a large withdrawal from your account. It's always a good idea to check with your bank or credit card company for any strange solicitations. Chances are that you're not the first one that's been approached with fraudulent advances, and your financial institution should be able to guide you in the right direction. And there's types of transactions that raise red flags with banks. Same goes for nonprofit solicitations. Always do your homework. And this is the most heartbreaking type of scam of all. It's seniors who have saved a lot of money, and this is why they are targeted, because they're retired. To retire, you probably need a good amount of money. And a lot of times, you know, mentally have slowed down to some degree and maybe are less attuned to understand what type of scams are out there and more apt to believe in the positive of people. Okay, so, you know, that's a good thing in one sense and it's a bad in another. So I hate to see any of you or your family members fall for any of these. Now, we want to hear about your experiences. If you've fallen for a scam, nothing to be ashamed of. It's learning experiences. Many of these are very clever. So I want to hear if you've fallen for any scams. You can check in right now or anytime with any money questions at 888-99-CHART. It's our anytime number. We'll try to answer your question on the next Invest Talk.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I listen on podcasts. I had a question about pensions. You were talking about pensions a couple days ago, and I was just wondering, I work for a company who has a pension, and I'm fully vested, and I was just wondering what's the risk that pension will not be there anymore when it's time for me to retire. I'm only 33, so I've got a long time until I'm going to retire, and I'm just curious if that pension is guaranteed or if I have to worry about that maybe not being there when it's time to retire. I'll listen for the answer on an upcoming show. Thank you.
Great question. This is something I think a lot of people should think about. Now, most pensions are covered by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. You have to look into that, make sure yours is. Odds are it is. But that doesn't cover you for the full amount of your pension. Remember that. There is a scale, you know, it's complicated. You have to do some research and it's going to change over the years, especially now and when you retire 30 plus years from now. But you will be covered to some degree if they do go bankrupt. And a lot of it depends on what type of company you work for. Is it a cyclical company? Do they have a lot of debt? Is this an industry where there tends to be a lot of bankruptcies over, you know, extended period of time? I'm not talking about the last 2 or 3 years. I'm talking the last 20 or 30 years. Okay? So think about that. What is the history of this industry? And I think that's number one. And then, is it covered by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation? And how much will you get of that? You won't get all of it, but you'll get some of it. So great question. I think everybody should understand that if they have a pension. Now, let's also try to answer a question sent in via text message. Question is, Justin, FCX is one of the top copper companies. Is it time to buy at $10? Plan to stay in the market more than 5 years. That's the question. Thank you, Susie. Well, FCX is one of the largest copper companies in the world. Let me bring this up here. And they've fallen on hard times, like the whole commodity space, right? Earnings back in 2011 were almost $5 a share. 2015, they only made 21 cents a share. This year, they're only supposed to make 48 cents a share, and next year, $1 a share. So it's coming back to a degree. And I like that you're looking at this from a deep value space. You know, you're looking at cheap companies. Yields about 2%, but that dividend has been cut. And this goes back to what I talk about is when you're looking at dividends, how cyclical is their business? How risky is their business? Back in 2013, they paid about $1 a share in dividend. Now it's 5 cents a share. Dramatic difference. Huge cut. Now, obviously, the stock has fallen dramatically as well from a high in the, 40s, 50s. And now it's trading, hit a low in the $3 range. And now it's at $9.95 a share. That is from a peak back in 2011, around $60 a share. So you're down 90%, 85, 90%. The biggest issue here is debt. They have a good amount of debt on their balance sheet. Their debt-to-equity ratio is 253%. That worries me a little bit. Their financial leverage has jumped dramatically. It's why they cut their dividend. There are some worries about bankruptcy. And I continue to worry about it. So I would say no. If you want to buy and hold this for the long term, I think this is way too risky. They have a lot of debt, and I think it's very likely they do go bankrupt in the next 5 years. Now, Steve is in San Francisco today reviewing retirement portfolios for listeners. He also sets a time each month to review retirement portfolios via Skype and telephone, also FaceTime as well, if you want to do it that way, with listeners all over the country. To schedule an hour with him, no matter where you live, just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Get your call in sooner rather than later. I know yesterday about five calls came in the last 5 minutes, and I think we didn't get to two or three of them. So I urge everyone, call sooner rather than later. Quickly, our talking points today are, is using a Roth IRA as an emergency fund a good idea? It's kind of an interesting strategy to go by. And then, if the Fed raises rates, how is that going to affect Americans? It's actually going to affect 92 million Americans. How is it going to change your investment picture? And then, is the oil bust bigger than the dot-com bust? I'll tell you why. And then, could bond investors be wiped out or severely hurt coming up very, very soon? We're going to talk about all of that and much, much more. Whatever's on your mind, give us a call. 888-99-CHART is how you get through to the conversation. Let's go to Craig in Dallas. How you doing, Craig?
Good. Can you hear me?
I can. Good news for you.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I was wondering how to trade the VIX with options.
Okay. Why?
Because it looks like it'd be fun, and I want to learn. It's got a really nice pop when it pops, and I think somebody could capitalize on it.
Okay, this is a very risky endeavor. Just to let you know, there are options. You can buy options on them. It's pretty simple, and you just got to open up a brokerage account with an options agreement. And you can go buy options on the VIX. Know that you're going to pay high premiums because there are a lot of speculators just like you that see the potential in the, it's a gamble. You're not investing. Just to let you understand that you're gambling is what you're doing. You know that, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you can go do it. You should probably use technicals. Do you have a good grasp of technical analysis and charting?
No.
Okay. Then don't do it. Because that's because if you're speculating, really the best way to speculate in the market is to understand technical analysis and understand patterns. And you see those patterns repeat and they set up and they tend to portend to a future move, whether it's in the VIX or an individual stock or the indexes or whatever. And so if you're trading the VIX, so you want to trade the VIX or any other stock or index for speculation purposes, especially with options, you need to know technical analysis. And you are going to get absolutely decimated if you don't understand technical analysis and you're trying to buy options on the VIX. Your timing-wise is going to be off. Odds are you're going to probably make a big mistake and lose a lot of money.
Let me ask you this. Since it doesn't have an underlying, it's just an index, you have to buy both a put and a call, correct?
No, you can just buy a call. You don't have to buy both.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you got to get out of it somehow.
Yeah, you buy it back. So what happens is you would sell it. You could do it either way. You could sell a put, right? So if it goes up, the value of that put goes down, and then you buy that put back. That's one way you could play it. You could buy a call, meaning if it goes over certain strike price, suddenly there's intrinsic value in it, and then you sell it. just like you would a stock. So there's two ways. You could actually play it both ways if you wanted to. There's a lot of different type of option strategies out there. If you're going to play it, you need to understand charting. You need to have charting software. You need to probably practice a little while. It's not something that you should go into just willy-nilly.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Craig. Let's go to Sean in Alameda. How you doing, Sean?
Hi, Justin. Are you talking to me?
Yes. How's it going?
Yes, I'm calling from New York. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What can I do for you?
I have a question about EGRX, Eagle okay. Pharmaceutical, and okay. What do you think about this company, and if it's a good idea to buy into it?
So this is a pharmaceutical, or this is a drug manufacturer. It's specialized in develops and commercialized injectable products in the critical care and oncology areas. What do you know about their drugs and their business overall?
I don't know much. I've been monitoring this company since the beginning of last year when they started having a run. I made some money and then I sold all of my shares, and it seems like it's picking up again. So I was just wondering if you think it's a good time to buy.
Well, the technicals do look pretty good. You know, it's rallied from a low of 35 in June, and now it's at $60.91, and it's been pretty much consolidating since mid-August, and it's consolidating in a bullish manner. So I would say in the short term, it looks pretty good. I see nothing wrong with it. Now, it was up 6.7% today. It looks like it's starting to break out. I could see it revisiting the highs of in the 90s. That's certainly a possibility. From a long-term valuation perspective, you know, this is it's gambling, and it's not cheap by any means. Even though if it does earn $5.24, like analysts expect it to next year, you know, then it would be cheap. But that's just, I think, a lot of speculation. So this is a very high-risk name. Technically, it looks strong. Fundamentally, you know, it's kind of all over the map. You know, it was losing money for a few years. It finally made money last year. Going to make $3.21 this year. But it's high risk, and you have to understand that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Justin.
No problem, Sean. But it looks like it's consolidating pretty nicely. Now, want to know more about dividend investing? Why not sign up for InvestTalk Insider Program? It is free. And then you'll have instant access to all of our webinars and lists and so much information that will help you become an investor, a better investor, including our Doing Dividends Right webinar. It's a crash course in dividend investing. You can sign up now if you'd like. It is free on investtalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Coming up on Invest Talk, answers to your questions, any money matter, comparing load and no load mutual funds, how to gauge your needs in retirement, 888-99-CHART. We thank you for subscribing. The best investment approach is one that combines disciplined fundamental analysis with a market perspective and an understanding of human psychology. As Steve says, it's an art, not a science. How about sharing your investing experiences? Steve and Justin would love to hear from you. 888-99-CHART. We'll hear your voice on our next podcast. Or call 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific weekdays and speak with them live. And now, more Invest Talk. You're listening to Invest Talk for Tuesday, September 20th. On the next Invest Talk, 10 years into a bull market for growth stocks, the cycle finally appears to be turning in favor of value investing, but not for all the usual reasons. Value versus growth investing. That's our talking point for Wednesday. What's yours right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us from anywhere in the USA.
Go to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing good. What can I do for you?
I just wanted to ask you about Disney, DIS.
Okay.
I was actually thinking about picking some up, but I'm trying to wait for the market pullback. I was thinking about trying to get it in the mid-80s if I could. Do you think it'll come down that low?
I do, and I actually think it'll go even lower. But, you know, if you have a long-term time horizon, you know, I could be wrong, and it could be a great place to pick it up. You know, I think it'll be lower than I think it'll actually get back into the 50s or 60s is where I would like to pick it up. And, you know, yeah, you know, what's happening at Disney is that a lot of the growth in their earnings, the growth in their business is not driven by what you think Disney to be, which is theme parks and Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, right?
ESPN.
Yeah, it's ESPN, and what you're seeing now is a lot of consumers don't care about ESPN. A lot do, but a lot of the ones that don't are unplugging from their cable service, and you know Disney is trying to figure out ways to combat this, and they see that. And so I think if technically it looks weak, fundamentally it's not exactly cheap. It's a great company.
Okay.
Great that it's on your watch list, but I think it needs to be much, much lower for me to get really excited about it.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Justin.
No problem, Art. Thanks for calling in. Now, let's do a quick overview of the market today. I know I haven't talked about that today because I got here late because it was raining and traffic was a mess. But I want to quickly touch on it because tomorrow was a big day. The market really closed flat. It was up most in the morning, and it slowly kind of – the air kind of was let out of the balloon, and it closed flat. And the market's really waiting on tomorrow. We have two announcements overnight. You're going to have the Bank of Japan and whether or not they're going to change their QE program. They likely will. It's just a matter of – in what way, in what degree, and how the market reacts to that. And then will the Fed raise interest rates tomorrow? They make their decision. I think the odds are higher than the market is pricing in. And I think they could surprise the market, and they could even do it just because the market dictates the Fed. The Fed does not dictate the market. And will the Fed send a message to the market saying, no, we're not dictated by you? They might. Odds are that I don't think they will. I think they're too scared. But it's going to be a big day. And even if they don't raise rates, it could send shockwaves through the market based on their rhetoric going forward on this December hike, which I think that's what they'll do, is they'll pause this September, and they'll say, we are almost assuredly, and maybe not in these words, but almost assuredly going to raise in December. And that could also spook the market, who, you know, isn't really pricing in a December hike either. So a lot can happen between now and the end of day tomorrow. So be ready for volatility, because there will be big volatility tomorrow. Could be on the upside, could be on the downside. I'm betting the downside. Now, one of the services we provide our InvestTalk listeners is a free risk analysis tool. And the idea is to determine your own capacity for risk. And one of the best ways to do this is by taking a risk analysis quiz. It's quick, free, takes just 3 minutes on our website. It's important to know your risk tolerance and plan your investment strategy accordingly. It's right there on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Investing in real estate has become increasingly popular over the last 50 years and has become a common investment vehicle. Now you have another source of answers for your real estate investing questions. Get a note to our onboard licensed realtor. Just click on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com and he'll get right back to you.
Hey, yeah, my name is Dennis and I'm new in the field of stocks. I see B times A, bigger than that's bid and asking. How does that actually work? Talk to you later. Thank you very much. Bye.
What is a bid and ask? I think this is something that most investors don't understand, so don't feel bad, especially beginning investors. If people ask,
How do stock prices move? It's a pretty rational question. If you don't understand, if you never traded a stock, you never actually went out there and looked at a bid and an ask, I could see how you go, how does it move? Doesn't make sense. Well, all stocks out there have a bid and an ask. And what the bid is buyers. Buyers say, I will bid this price for your shares and this number of shares. And then the ask will say, well, I own these shares and I am willing to sell them at X price. And I'm asking for that price. And then there's the spread between that bid and ask price. Okay. Some stocks have big spreads, usually illiquid stocks, small cap stocks that don't trade a lot of shares. Their bid and ask tends to be sometimes tens of cents, sometimes a whole dollar if it's really illiquid. But most big blue chip stocks, their spread is very small. Penny, 2 pennies, 3 pennies. So it's pretty liquid, a lot of shares traded, not much liquidity risk going on there. But stocks that don't trade a lot have a lot of liquidity risk. So when the bid starts to rise, meaning more buyers are willing to bid up that stock saying, I'll pay this price and I'll go even more. I'll add another penny, 2 pennies, 3 pennies. You can see how the bid starts to rise and the price of the stock starts to rise and vice versa. When a lot of investors just want to get out of that particular stock, the ask starts to go down and you just want to get out at almost any price. And all of a sudden the stock price falls quickly. So that's hopefully a quick synopsis on bid and ask and how that works. Now let's get to a Roth IRA. Is a Roth IRA a good vehicle to double as an emergency fund? And I think it is, especially in this environment. You know, a lot of people want to save money. They're maybe saving money for a particular reason, whether it's to buy a home, maybe to buy a car, maybe for college, for your kids, for yourself, who knows? But in today's environment, it yields almost nothing. Bank accounts yield almost nothing. That tends to be where you hold your emergency fund in your savings account. Maybe you'll put it in CDs or money market accounts, usually yielding almost next to nothing today. Now you might be able to go out there and shop around, go to bankrate.com, and might be able to find a CD or a money market somewhere in the 1% range, but still, that's not a lot of yield, okay? But they tend to be liquid, which is the number one thing that you need to consider when you are compiling an emergency fund, because emergency funds do you no good if an emergency arises and you can't get access to that money, right? Well, in a Roth IRA, you can put money in. It's in a brokerage account. You can put it in individual bonds, individual stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, all which pretty much can be sold at a moment's notice. It might take, you know, a few days to settle for, in the case of a stock, it might take a few days to actually get your hands on that money. But you can always take out the money you put in to a Roth. You can always take out penalty-free, tax-free, etc. Now, the growth of that money must wait. Access to the growth of that money must wait until you are 59 and a half. Otherwise, you'll be charged more taxes, more penalties. But the money you put in can be taken out. So it makes for a nice option to get access to higher yielding assets, even though you need to still consider risk. Because emergency funds should also have limited risk. And in this environment, chasing yield usually means taking a lot more risk than you probably should, especially in an emergency fund. Now, does that mean you don't look for higher yields? No. But chasing 5, 6, 7% yields, probably in this environment, you are taking higher risk than you probably should. So just be aware of that. Understand the consequences of searching for yield. And honestly, How about getting a nice 2.5% dividend? Doesn't sound like a lot, but that is where you're going to find the most consistent dividends, the safest dividends, and limit your risk. Odds are, in this environment, if it's yielding over 4 or 5%, it's probably a higher risk endeavor, and you need to be prepared for that. So, but using a Roth IRA is a pretty good way to find higher yield, but still have access to liquidity in the future in case of an emergency. Now let's look to our text questions and see if we can help someone. This person asks, I don't own any bank stocks, but is Wells Fargo stock we should consider since it's fallen on bad news? We all know about the issues that have come out with Wells Fargo stock. Certainly, they've committed some type of fraud. As an organization, individuals, there was fraud going on inside that business, and the stock has fallen accordingly. It's really dented their reputation as one of kind of the angels of the financial system. It really has been. This is very rare, very odd for Wells Fargo to have this issue. They tend to be a very conservative organization. So it's crazy to think about all of the higher risk institutions out there. Think of Citigroup, Bank of America, et cetera, who they have their own problems in their own right. And Wells Fargo tends to be one of those names that everyone trusts a little bit more. But it shows that every bank can be subject to chasing profits and creating an environment where bad things can happen. Will this dent Wells Fargo long term? I think to some degree. I think they'll eventually bounce back. Their balance sheet and their business tends to be relatively safer, I would say, safer than most other banks out there. So I don't think that is going to change. If anything, it's probably going to have them recoil into even a safer business and probably hurt profitability to some degree. But I just don't like bank stocks, to be honest with you. I just don't like bank stocks. Is Wells Fargo still probably the one of the best in a breed out there? Yeah, it is. But I think you're going to see a challenge in the financial system in the very near future, and that's going to emanate from Europe. Deutsche Bank is at an all-time low. The largest bank in Germany, the fourth largest bank in the Eurozone, they are going to have some sort of a bailout. They're going to go bankrupt, or they're going to go bankrupt if they don't have a bailout. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is a problem. Italian banks are also a problem. The Italian referendum on leaving the EU is coming up later this year. That is also probably going to cause a problem. The banking system is not safe. The too big to fail banks has not been solved. None of these banks have none of the banks that were too big to fail back in the financial crisis are no longer too big to fail. The only one I can think of is like GE Capital, because they've slimmed down and sold off a lot of their assets, and you know they have the GE industrial side of their business that's now kind of retaking the reins of GE, which I think is a positive. But there's still risk there. And so there's no bank that the too big to fail problem has been solved. It really hasn't. Regulators have not done one thing, and in fact, consolidation in the industry has probably made it worse. And a lot of the risk has come into non-bank institutions like hedge funds and private equity funds. That is where a lot of the risk is, and that will spread eventually to the banks as well who service these organizations. So I just don't like the banking industry. So is Wells Fargo one of the best in the industry still? Yeah, sure. But I don't like the industry, so I would stay away from it. 888-99 chart is our number. 888-992-4278. We have seven, eight minutes left in the show. So if you're going to call, you need to do it now. Because I don't want to rush like yesterday and have five callers and I'm not going to get to everybody. So you need to call now and get in first in line after this break. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein. Maybe you have a question about real estate investing, maybe about dividend stocks, maybe about the banking industry, the Federal Reserve. What do you want to talk about? We have 7-8 minutes left in the show. It's up to you what we talk about in this last segment, so give me a call. 888-99-CHART is how you get through, and we'll talk about it.
My name is Steve, and I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. First, I want to thank you so much for your podcast. I'm a podcast listener, and I have two questions about two stocks, Nokia, symbol N-O-K, and iRobot, which is I-R-B-T. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's try to get to both of these quickly. One is Nokia Corporation. Everyone kind of knows Nokia, except you no longer should think of Nokia as a cell phone manufacturer, because they don't really make phones anymore. They actually sold that division off to Microsoft years ago, and Microsoft did whatever with it. Well, Nokia still is around, but they develop telecom infrastructure and broadband technologies, right? So they're in the infrastructure of the mobile world. Yields about 3.7%, but technically this chart looks sick. From a value perspective, it's not bad. You know, I don't hate it, to be honest with you. But technically, it just looks really, really poor. And their cash from operations are negative. Yeah, more that I look at it, I'm not a fan of it. I would stay away from that. And then iRobot. This is the maker of the Roomba. You know what the Roomba is? That goes around and vacuums your floors, and they have a bunch of different robot products that clean your house and do certain things automatically. Profits are increasing, which is good. I like that. It's not a good value. It's certainly a growth name, and it's good momentum. So I think medium term, I think it will probably continue higher. Long term, it's got to continue this growth, and if we go into recession, I think this is probably an area where I think less people will be spending money. So short to medium term, okay. Long term, I would wait for better prices. So that was Nokia and iRobot. Now let's quickly talk about what are the ramifications if the Fed hikes interest rates tomorrow. Now, there will be certainly some market ramifications. Interest rates will rise. The stock market will likely fall. There will be a switch to risk off in the marketplace. And that still might be the case if they hint at a December rate hike as well. But what happens if they actually raise rates? And what does that do to the average consumer? Well, about 92 million Americans will see an increase in their monthly payment on certain types of debt, such as credit cards. Now, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, adjustable rate mortgages, some personal loans, they all tend to have variable interest rates that follow the Fed funds rate. So the interest you're paying on those debts is likely going to rise to some degree. Now, if they rise, it'll probably no more than a quarter point, so it won't be a dramatic change. And the good news is that about 90% of consumers will not really be impacted much. But there is that 10% that will see an increase in their monthly payments. About 12 million will see their payments rise about $10 to $25 a month. About 3.7 million will experience an increase from $25 to $50. And 9.2 million Americans, ones that are probably the most heavily in debt, will get about $50 or more increase in their monthly payment. Now, not all debt is tied, debt interest rates are tied to the Fed funds rate. Some are actually tied to LIBOR, which is the London Interbank Offer Rate, which is a different benchmark, which actually has been on the rise recently. And overall, it could see a rise as well if the Fed raises rates. So understand that rates generally are rising to a small degree, and the Fed wants to raise rates, and this could impact your finances. Now, is it going to be dramatic? Probably not. But a small change like this across tens of millions of people can have a broad effect, a large effect overall. So just be aware of that. Now our time is up for this hour. I hope you found it worthwhile, worth your time. Please join us again tomorrow. Steve will be back talking about value versus growth investing, and of course, he'll be answering your questions. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, executive vice president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. For Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.